What's up, guys? This is your girl Mika, and we just wanted to tell you we had a little bit of technical difficulties. We did not find out until we completely recorded the entire episode and we're editing it in our software, and that's when we noticed all of the different level changes. So if you hear some of the volumes going really low or completely high, we are incredibly sorry about that. And it's still such a great episode. We hope you continue to listen in. Do not let that deter you, and we hope you enjoy it. What's up, guys, and welcome to another episode of Talk to Us Nice. You're listening to your girls, Mika and Kelsey. And as always, this week has given me nothing but entertainment, a little bit of pain, and growth. So how are you doing, Kelsey?
I'm doing great. You know, can't complain. The weather, trash. It's going to be like that the rest of the week. I'm just like, great. Let's get ready for quarantine part 67. Like right as my seasonal depression is about to hit. Can't wait. I'm very excited.
I actually love this weather. I can't even front. I love it right now. I'm chilling. I love cloudy sets. Like,
same.
Especially if I'm just trying to chill, give it
same.
To me.
But like, I don't know. Like, I just need a little more sun for August. Like, I need to go to the beach two more times and I'll shut up.
I haven't been to the beach once.
You might go Sunday. Do you want to go Sunday?
What's Sunday? What's today's date? Today's the 17th. Sunday is the 22nd. I believe I'm free. Looking at my calendar right now. Yeah, so I'm looking pretty fucking free.
Ooh, are you going to pencil me in? That's hot.
I can pencil you in. I know I have something the 23rd and I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, I need to start using the goddamn calendar that Steve Jobs gave me in my iPhone because I won't for some odd reason.
Yeah, I hate when I don't remember to put any event in my calendar because I will forget. Like, if it's not written down either in my phone or on the one I have on my wall, you are forgotten.
Sorry about it.
And I think it's because I've gotten so reliant on it that if it's not there, forget about it. Like, that's just what it is.
I love that but for you.
Thank you. I don't, because that makes me think like I have retention issues. So I don't love that for me.
Don't think about it. It's fine.
Yeah, you know what I'll think about? This Las Vegas mother who freaking lied about her eviction with three kids.
Wait, what are you talking about?
So this woman... this woman, right? So she was facing eviction. And she put up like, I don't know if it was like a GoFundMe, but whatever. People donated so much money because there was a viral video of like all of her stuff outside. She had three kids with her, like all this stuff. She got $200,000 worth of donations. We find out this bitch is a babysitter. How psychotic is that?
Honestly, we love a scammer. That's crazy.
This is why I'm literally, it always makes me feel bad when I pass over like someone's GoFundMe and things like that when I see like a viral video and things, because I'm just like, people lie so much. And I often do give money. Like, I have like monthly donations to different charities and things like that. And I just feel like there's so many people who just flat out lie. And it's like, girl, I'm broke too. And when I see a situation that I can obviously tell is worse than the situation I'm in, I always feel inclined to give money if I can, because I'm just like, well, if I'm going to spend $150 randomly on a 2 a.m. online shopping thrill, like I can give some money to somebody. And then a lot of the times I find that people are fucking lying.
I mean, girl, the whole ass Red Cross lies. Like, you can't even donate to them. And that's a
how much quote unquote
charitable organization.
How nuts is that? It's yeah, she full ass lied. She was definitely babysitting them kids, but she used them to get those donations.
Damn, I mean, like, good on her. I don't know. I love a scammer.
Speaking of scammers,
ooh,
Awkwafina.
Say it.
How do you feel about her trending right now on Twitter?
She's an interesting one for fucking sure. So right before we started recording, Twitter was set quite ablaze by the Awkwafina trail of hate. And honestly, I mean, she kind of brought it on herself. I think she's kind of a ridiculous person. What do you think?
She is a ridiculous person. And I feel like I've always had something against Awkwafina. I don't say something against her. I don't freaking know her. I just don't really like what she perpetuates. Like, I really don't. The whole black scent thing is really freaking annoying and it grates at me. Like, I cannot stand it. It's been in multiple different movies. It's this whole thing where they use this black scent thing to catapult their career. And then once they're accepted by like white America, it mysteriously disappears. Even though you say you don't do an accent, this isn't who you are, this isn't what you're doing. It's like, so what happened? Did you get a speech coach?
They're just like, I don't know what that was. Like that was like a tick or something. I don't know. I don't know her.
Like, do you think we're fucking stupid? And so she had like this interview too, and she said, "I refuse to do accents. I'm not okay with someone writing the Asian experience for an Asian character. I make it very clear. I don't ever go out for auditions where I feel like I'm making a minstrel out of our people."
Yeah,
ironic as fuck. That because I'm sorry, even in Crazy Rich Asians. When she had the black scent in Crazy, I'm just like, so you're playing this high society, comes from a lot of money, Asian woman. And that's your voice. It's like they needed the black best friend, but the movie's all about Asian characters. And so, okay, let's have Awkwafina do it. It's really fucked up. I don't like it. It's kind of like when they, you love this movie, so I know you'll get my reference.
Oh no, what movie?
Too Fast, Too Furious. When all of a sudden, Paul Walker.
What about him? What did he do? I don't remember what you're going to say right now.
Paul Walker all of a sudden acted like he grew up in fucking Compton. Like, it was very weird, all the lines they had out of Paul Walker's mouth, and they didn't have it they stopped doing it. They did that for that one movie. And they didn't have it anymore. It's like when they had Halle Berry try to do an African accent for Storm and X-Men. And then after the first movie, they're like, cut that shit out.
They're like, that was not it. Please never do that again. Ever. We mean it.
Ever. So yeah, it's very strange. I can't really stand it.
Has anyone ever asked her? Like, point blank period? Just be like, can we talk about your voice?
I don't think so, because I think they just talked about like the Awkwafina presence in general. And it's kind of how we read earlier, how, you know, she said it's like her alter ego from her more passive personality. And why do you need to appropriate a different culture for your alter ego?
I want to know where she heard that voice or anything.
I'm from Queens.
You're from Forest Hills.
They don't rent to black people in Forest Hills. Like, I don't know who you thought you were trying to connect with there. That doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, it is very much do not bring the blacks into this community. I went to a concert there a few weeks ago to see Brandi Carlile, and the concert ended at like 10:30, and we were all like, because they were like, the residents need their sleep. You were trying to rock, do that at MSG. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like, very much. Yeah.
Like, I feel like she's a culture vulture. Like, that's what she is to me. And the fact that she was trending on Twitter under rap, please, no. And then there's also some people who are calling what she does code switching. That's not code switching. That is not code switching.
I just don't understand how she can say with her whole ass chest, like, I refuse to do accents. That's like demeaning to people. And then yet here she is.
No, demeaning to her culture. No. I refuse to do accents to the Asian culture. Fuck everybody.
Girl. I don't know.
Now a lot of people are saying that they're not going to buy tickets to the new movie she's in. Because it's all started because now the previews for The Legend of the Ten Rings, now the previews come out where she's in it. And everyone's just like, that was the wrong preview you should have put on my page. Because like, now I'm not watching it. Like,
and she's doing full black scent.
I honestly didn't see the preview that she's in. I saw one of the earlier previews. She wasn't in it. I didn't see this one. But Twitter's gone crazy and now she's being dragged. And the thing is that now the one of the runners of Marvel, he said something that didn't sit right with people already, like basically calling the movie an experiment.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah,
I saw that.
The lead in the movie, Simu, was not having it. He made a comment about that. And so it's been like a little back and forth about that. So there's already drama surrounding this movie and wondering whether it's going to be a success. And Awkwafina is not going to help in this aspect, which sucks because I do want it to do well just based on the fact that even when a lot of people saw him, they were like, oh, is he attractive enough to be the lead of a Marvel movie? It's like, you didn't ask that about anybody. Benedict Cumberbatch is the lead of Doctor Strange. And no one said, oh, is Benedict Cumberbatch hot enough to be the lead in a Marvel movie? You know what I mean? So like, we know why they're asking that. And it's really fucked up. And so it's like, I want this movie to succeed. But a lot of people saw Awkwafina and kind of just like, I might skip this. But they better not fucking do that to Halle Bailey and The Little Mermaid, because Awkwafina is in that too.
Why is she in everything? Whose dick is she sucking?
She's playing Scuttle.
Who's that? The fish?
Yeah, you didn't watch The Little Mermaid, right?
Yeah. We know. I don't know. We know I have issues with that movie. Wait, is that the fish? No, that's Flounder.
It's the bird. The bird that like gives her.
Well, I mean,
she sounds like the bird.
It's fitting. So.
So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what goes down. But I don't know. She's been needing to be dragged for a minute now, in my opinion.
Drag her.
Because it's funny to see how when Farewell, which got her, she's the first person of Asian descent to ever win a Golden Globe in that category that she won in for the Farewell. And there's no accent in it. And now it's like people forget what they used to catapult themselves into the career. And now it's like Nora. Call me Nora.
Call me Nora from Queens.
Like, get the fuck out of here. I don't know.
We won't be watching. Actually, I don't know. I might be.
I kind of have to watch it. I just because of what the head, I don't know if he's the head of Marvel runner, whatever, said about this, like that movie being an experiment. Like, I feel like I actually have to support it and watch it because I do want it to be successful, because I feel like so many people of color always get this like question mark put on any project that they fucking do to see if it's going to be a success or not. It's like how Megan Good was talking about how she kept trying to get funding on this project, but people are like, why aren't the Black people funny? She's like, because it's a drama.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We're not just here to like fucking chuck and jive. Like, you know what I mean? So I probably am still going to support it, but not because of Awkwafina, period.
And that's on period.
She. Next up, we got something that genuinely made me belly laugh. We got Beanie Feldstein. One, congrats, girl. She's going to be the lead in the revival of Funny Girl. But the discourse, it's not even a discourse. It's not a discourse. It's the memes and hilarity of people bringing Lea Michele into this situation.
They truly, as soon as this news was announced, they were like, somebody check on Lea Michele. We might have to like 5150 her. Like, is she okay?
She has a pulse. So for those of you who didn't hear, Beanie got the lead as Fanny Bryce for the Broadway revival of Funny Girl. And she said it's a lifelong dream come true. She put up a really cute picture of her at like 3 years old for a 3-year-old birthday party, dressed as Fanny, looking so freaking adorable. But as we all know, Lea Michele lives and breathes anything Barbara Streisand does. It's apparent in real life. She did it all over Glee. Apparently, Ryan had the rights to do the revival, and Lea finally was just like, I'm ready to do it. This was like a couple of years ago. He doesn't have the rights any longer. It has not gone to Lea Michele. She's mentioned it so many times in so many different talk shows.
Yeah, I mean, I had read somewhere that it was kind of like brought to her attention a couple of years ago. And she was like, you know what? I feel like that ship has sailed a little, but I think that like it would still pain her watched this movie that she was basically like, that was constantly reinforced watching Glee. Like, this bitch is Barbra Streisand. She is Barbra. Don't rain on my parade. Like,
they even gave it to her in like the end. Like, she quit school so she could be on Broadway to play Fanny. Like, but yeah, so the interview was like in 2017. She said, I did a concert in Central Park. I did like 9 funny girl songs and turned to Ryan Murphy and was like, okay, I'm ready to do it. It's a lot of work. It'll be an honor to do it. But if I'm going to go back to Broadway, that's what I really like to do. So it actually hasn't even been that long ago. It was 4 years and she was pumped and ready. We all know 2020 doesn't exist. So really 3 years. And she was pumped and ready to go. Ryan does not have the rights anymore and it's going to Beanie.
You know what? I'm really excited to see this because I love a Broadway to movie adaptation when it's done right. Mamma Mia is the best to do it. Don't fight me on it. Like, it is. We don't have to talk about the second one, but the first one, chef's kiss. Yeah,
the second one. But I love Lily James. So I watched it multiple times. Yes.
Yes. Well, the second one is just fun. Like, the second one is just like, you can't even think about the first one. It's just like, let's just have fun in this world now. But I think it's going to be great to see her in it. Like, she's clearly, she wanted to be in Broadway before she ever decided to do acting. And her best friend is fucking Ben Platt. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, so I'm really excited to see her in this. I'm really excited to also see her in the new season of American Crime Story.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Impeachment as Monica Lewinsky.
Cannot wait.
And Monica Lewinsky is like a producer on this season. So it's going to be, I think, it's going to be like very accurate and not the entire world, you know, shitting on a fucking 22-year-old or however old she was when it happened. And just like, I don't know, look at the person who was coming for her. Yeah.
It's also a very different time. And the way that the world looks at things now wasn't how they looked at it back in the 90s when this happened. Everything that happened with Me Too and all that, even currently what's going on with Governor Cuomo. It's like people are getting held accountable unlike they haven't been before. And so, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see. And I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. I loved the first one. I loved the first one with OJ. And then I loved the second one with Versace. So I'm like, here we go. Sarah Paulson's going to, like, all the old people are going to be in it again. I'm excited.
Sarah Paulson's just
that bitch.
Basically, that's all that needs to be said. We can end it on that.
Okay, guys, on Friday, Lizzo dropped her first single since 2019, which is a little crazy, but whatever, with Cardi B called Rumors, and unfortunately faced a ton of backlash. I'm really not too certain why, but then Lizzo hopped on IG Live and just really just kind of put it all out there. She just said that she no longer wants to appear on her Instagram feed and she's being attacked and people are saying shit about her that doesn't make sense. And people are being racist and fatphobic and hurtful. And I totally agree with her, but I also don't know where she's seeing this being said. Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you feel about
this? Well, she was saying it was all in like her comment section. Okay. So it's like her comment section and, you know, she's probably going on Reddit, which you all know it's a hole in itself. I don't think she's wrong with a lot of statements she has been saying. It's very true that especially big Black women do face a lot of criticism, especially in the music world. You can have someone as big as Rick Ross used to be still making so many hits, having all these girls like shaking their ass in front of them in the video and like all that stuff and all is good and fine. No one's saying like, oh, wow, Rick Ross lose some fucking weight. Like they mainly say it to big Black women. Even what she had said months ago about, you know, the body positivity movement and how it has been now geared and changed towards mostly only white women who aren't even like 16 plus. It's a bit crazy. And so she's been facing all this stuff since she blew up in her career. It's always been one of the main things that's been spoken about and talked about. And, you know, she shows her body so she can help younger generations feel more comfortable with their body. And everyone takes it in a very negative and turns it into a negative. And after a while, it does get exhausting. As you can see, when she went on IG Live, it kind of broke her for a second. And then she came back the next day with a smile on her face. But we all know that shit like this hurts. And people think that because people chose this career, they definitely want all of the criticism that comes with it. No, they chose singing because they love singing. They chose rap because they love rap. They chose acting because they love to act. Yes, it comes with success and of course limelight and all that stuff. But no one's saying like, oh yeah, fucking tear me apart. I love that shit. I eat it up. No one likes to be torn apart. And most of the people behind the computer are fucks who live in their mom's basement, sits in the dark, doesn't turn on any lights because they don't like looking at themselves either. And then they rip people apart behind a computer screen. And it's so fucked up. I wish her nothing but the best mental health. This year has been trying enough already without her finally trying to like bring back her music and positivity into the world and to get ripped apart from it. Will I say that song is my favorite? No, I'm not going to lie. But that's the thing. She was saying, she was like, if you don't like rumors, cool. If you don't like some of my music, cool. But it's the comments on her that are getting to her. Like, I'm sorry, I don't like the song. The first clip I heard was at 3:30 in the morning and it was the wrong section of the song that, because like I woke up and I know it's sickening, don't judge me. The first thing I do is pick up my phone. 3:30 in the morning, I barely get like anything rubbed out of my eye and I'm just like, oh, let me see what's on TikTok. And the first video is a singular section of the middle of the song and it did not help the chances of it being a top song on my list. It just didn't. When I hear the beginning of the song, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm kind of feeling this. And then it doesn't really go the way I like it. And that's my personal choice and that's fine. But people are ripping her apart. It's not like they're just ripping the song apart. They're ripping her apart.
Yeah. And that's what Cardi said when she called them all a bunch of fucking nerds. She was like, you know, to defend our girl Lizzo. She said like, you know, when you stand up for yourself and they claim that you're problematic and you're sensitive, when you don't, they tear you apart until you go crying like this. Whether you're skinny, big, plastic, they're always going to try and put their insecurities on you. Remember, these are nerds looking at the popular table. And I mean, it's true. Like, all these words, it's like, what are you fucking doing? Oh, you're just like a bot account or you're just like an account with like 3 followers and all you do is tear people down. Like, let's look at the bigger picture here. And it just sucks. I don't know. Maybe I think it's so smart now that Instagram has that feature to like turn off your comments. Like, I don't know why everybody doesn't just do it. Especially if it's kind of just like the trend that you're getting so much hate, just like block it out. And I know it's like, it's because you want to not block out all the hate. You want to see the support and you want to see the love. But I think that sometimes I think it's just better for your mental, especially because the song was not good in my opinion either. I listened to it 3 times before we started recording just to like, be like, do I like it? Mm-hmm. Is it good? And it's like, mm-hmm. No, it's not it, but it's like, she had a bad song.
But I think especially for artists, social media is a way to connect with, you know, the fans that do love you and like all that stuff. So I understand not turning off the comments. It's always going to be a double-edged sword. That's just, it is what it is. I feel like she's always trying to be the bigger person in this situation, like just trying to come out on top and stay with the positivity. But sometimes, yes, it is going to break you down. For her anyway, turning off the comments would make her feel better. Because either way, it's there. You have people like fucking Piers Morgan saying shit. Like, you know what I mean? She can't turn off the comments, really. Like, she just put out a new single. But it would kind of be nonsensical for her to turn off the comments when she just put out a new single, hoping to hear, like, you know, accolades and all that stuff about her new song. It didn't turn out that way, unfortunately. But once again, a lot of people were just saying stuff about her fucking body, which had nothing to do with the new single she put out. Like, you don't expect that to be the subject of conversation when you put a new single out and everyone's just tearing you up over your physical appearance.
Totally.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I wish all the best to Lizzo. I love her. I don't go to a lot of concerts and it's not by choice. I just haven't been to many concerts, but I've been to Lizzo concert.
Hey.
And all she does is make you feel amazing and great and just tries to lift your spirits and gives you pep talks in between songs. And I absolutely adore her.
Oh, yeah. I saw her. She opened for Haim back in the day when I saw them. And it was like one of the best concerts I've ever been to. I had no idea who she was. And then she ended up performing at my job like a few months later. And I was like, oh my God. But like, nobody really knew who she was, but it was just such like, so nice to be like, okay, let's empower each other. Like, let's lift each other up. Like, let's stop talking about these like menial things that don't fucking matter at the end of the day. Like, really, we're talking about like my body again. Mm-hmm.
And I also think it's because she's so confident about herself that they're just like, no, we have to really get her so she can stop showing her body.
Like, imagine
they want to break her down. Like, how bored are you?
Imagine being that bored. Like,
not even that, just that bored either. It's like, how hateful are you?
But just think about how much time there is. There's 24 hours in a fucking day, and how much time people will spend online like spewing hate. Like, that is insane to me. Like, I don't know. Go figure out fucking world hunger if you're so bored.
So for the next couple of topics, we are back in the early knots. I'm living for it, but honestly, it's also just like some people need to move on. I'm looking at you, Heidi Montag. I don't understand why LC, Lauren Conrad, for those of you who weren't part of this generational amazingness.
And if you weren't, I don't know what to tell you.
If you weren't, I need you to go on some fucking app and find the goods. I remember one time in college, like I was obsessed with the Hills, Laguna Beach. Like I was just like, wow, teens like me were rich and white.
I was like, wow, the luxury. Oh, they're going to the surf shop today to get bikinis. I live. Oh,
anytime Steven. I went to Billabong, I was like, oh my God, am I LC?
Am I LC? Jessica?
Fucking Steven. Oh man, the fights are anyway, because I feel like
yeah, sorry, we just got
some people might not have watched that.
Yeah,
but Lauren Conrad, she was the moment. She's the reason why anytime people wear waterproof mascara, Lauren Conrad was it. Okay, she was it. She's the bitch who didn't go to Paris, and now we have Emily in Paris. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like parallels.
She said, I want to forgive you and I want to forget you. And that's exactly what she fucking did. She did that.
When she said that line, it's like, now if we saw that on a reality show, we're just like, which producer gave her that line? But when she said that back then, I was like, in your face.
Yo, that hurt. That hurt back then.
Yeah, it definitely did. And so Heidi Montag, she was on Call Her Daddy. What's up, Alex?
What's up, Alex? Get us on your pod.
And she was talking about how, you know, she doesn't think that Lauren made the right business moves as well as Kristen Cavallari did. Mind you, I'm a Kristen Cavallari stan too. Don't get me wrong. I love that bitch. But Heidi talking about anybody's business or financial standing is very strange to me when her and Spencer are not with as much time as they spend trying to get on camera any place, anytime. They're not hitting. Their net worth is not hitting. So anyway, she goes on the podcast with Alex Cooper and she's like, she praised Lauren for not scrambling for fame, but she's just like, I feel like Kristen, let's be honest, is most successful. I feel like Lauren didn't make it like she should have. She should be Kylie Jenner. She was so good at makeup. She should have done tutorials. If she had a good team, she'd be a billionaire. She'd be a 100 millionaire.
No, just skip over it.
She is not where she should have been at all. She has a Kohl's line. Great, whatever. But she should be 100 millionaire. Are you kidding me? Who gets that big promotion, that big fame, that big engine behind her, the loved one and this and that, the narrator? No one gets the narrator show. Kylie didn't get a narrator show. She should be so rich. I love that she's like, the Kohl's line, great, whatever. Heidi Montag would kill for a Kohl's line right now. They barely have any money.
What do you mean?
Spending all of the money on crystals?
What do you mean? Pratt Daddy Crystals is literally booming, honey.
They wish it was.
That hurt me to say.
They need to put those crystals in the fucking moonlight and manifest some shit because it's not hitting the way it's supposed to be hitting. and she has the nerve to talk about somebody else's financial standing. Isn't she worth like $40 million, Elsie?
Yeah, she like did it. She did it. She did the thing. And here's the thing. Like, I think it's funny because in a sense, Heidi's not necessarily wrong. Like, she doesn't have a foot to stand on. Like, I don't think that she should be commenting, especially with like, we know how that all played out, but it's like, Coles.
She's not wrong. She just shouldn't be the one to be saying
this. Exactly. Like, she's not wrong in what she said, but like, baby girl, this is not your fight. And this is not for you. And I think that it's funny. It's funny that you said it.
It's honestly, it's so crazy. She's not wrong. Like, Lauren could have, but I feel like for that time, Lauren was everywhere. Like, not everybody wanted to be, and not everybody wanted to be a YouTuber. Lauren, even in Laguna Beach, wasn't in the forefront. That didn't happen until The Hills. Like, she wasn't in the forefront. Like, when I found out she was going to be, like, the main character in the spinoff show, I was just like, but where was she? Like, I don't know. She wasn't, like, always in the front. She seemed like a shyer person. And we can tell that now because she wasn't really in the forefront of, you know, much things. She just created all of our lines, created all of her, like, makeup stuff. And so people who are loyal to her bought it. She had great products. So it's still raining on now. She was never the person that's just like, I need to be in the front. Give it to me now. Which, as we know, Heidi and Spencer are those type of people. Mm-hmm. And she just wasn't. So it's like, yeah, could she have been that way? Sure. But for someone who didn't want to be in the limelight at all, having my net worth be $40 million while Heidi Montag's is $300,000. Please keep my name out of your mouth.
First of all, Elsie invented headbands. Like, don't talk to me. She invented headbands.
Hello.
And she did, and at the time, yeah, it was very, because like Kohl's was a thing back in the day.
Yeah.
I used to be a Kohl's girl. And like she came out with her book and like she did kind of do that in a way, but like once again, like I understand Heidi's standpoint, but it's also like, girl, look at her and look at you. Like, and that's just, and that's one of the reasons why I always loved Elsie, because she was so just like, I'm going to do it. Maybe I'm a bitch. Maybe I'm being sneaky, but I'm going to be quiet and I'm going to stay in my bag. I'm going to stay in my lane. Like, she's always done that. She's never talked about this shit ever.
Yeah, she doesn't bring it up. But yet everybody else around her brings it up. I also feel like for Heidi to speak about Elsie's like financial situation, when Heidi and Spencer did used to have a lot of money, it's just down the drain. Like, I believe that they used to be like, I think at most it was like, I've looked it up before. I think it was like 10 million or some shit. I'm just going to throw it out. I don't really know if that's like what it is.
Allegedly.
And now what, together they're 300,000. Please don't.
Cause he's mining. He's out mining for crystals.
Do not deem yourself worthy to speak my name. That's how I would feel if I was Lauren. But yeah, Lauren's never going to bring it up. She's never going to talk about it. There's just no way.
Yeah, I would honestly like to rewatch the show now, like just being older and like a little wiser and just like really, because, you know, we were so young watching that, like we're essentially like five, we're babies. and you know, just to see like, was Lauren like being out of pocket? Like, was this pretty much all on Heidi? Like, I want to see it now as an adult. Being like, who was actually being shady, who was actually right in what they were saying. Because that was the thing with Heidi too. She was like, Lauren was telling her, if you date Spencer, you're off the fucking show.
Yeah. Which, you know, no one can tell somebody who their significant other can be. Like, you can give advice, but that's about it. Like, you can't tell me who I can or cannot see. You're not my mother. The thing is, it's like, they also were very young when they did the show.
Yeah.
So there are certain situations I'm just like, when I was that age, I would have acted that way. So like watching it older is definitely going to be interesting. But like, I know at that age, I'd be like, I don't want you around me if that is your man. If I hated him that much.
Yeah. I'd be like, keep him, like, you can do what you want to do, but like, you can't bring him around me.
And this is my show.
And this is my show.
I swear to God, like, it's that's part of the reason why I didn't make it earlier in my life.
Because we weren't born in California.
Not even that. Just also, I'd be problematic, I feel.
See, I feel like I didn't get where I should have been, like a Laguna Beach star. Like that could have been me had I lived in California.
Didn't they had a black girl in there though, but she didn't get much airtime at all. I think it's like Jason asked her to prom or something, or to the dance. And then that was like a little thing. And then after that, it's like, we barely saw her again.
Yeah, so no, there wasn't. Really
bad extensions. Terrible extensions.
I mean, she wasn't getting good extensions out in Laguna. Like, I know.
Talking about Lauren and all of them had extensions. It's just that she didn't cover hers well.
But who was there to teach her?
Yeah, she had no black people to teach her. That's different. The problems weren't the extensions. It's how it was.
No, yeah, it was that she had no direction. She yeah. was just forced to like figure it out on her own.
Yeah, and YouTube wasn't big enough then. To have like that, I'm sorry. That's why a lot of these kids look like 25 or look like fucking models, is because YouTube can change a person's goddamn life.
Oh yeah, that's how I learned how to do my makeup. Are you kidding me?
Like that's just what it is, and they get to Google anything, look up a video, and they're just like, "I'm that bitch."
Did you
don't have that, and all you have are your mom's pictures from when she was young with fluffy hair and metallic eyeshadow. What do you expect me to do?
Did you ever watch NYC Prep, like the New York version of like a Laguna Beach?
No.
It was really good. It was also very problematic, and there were no black people. So, you know, say lovey.
Anyway, Heidi, keep my girl Elsie's name out your mouth.
And we wish you the best.
No, I wish Gunner the best.
He is so cute. Their Instagrams are funny. Like, I think that they were kind of always meant to be together.
Oh, I think they are a perfect match.
But it's just really funny to see, like, her and Gunner, like, going on hikes. And I'm like, you hate those. I know you do.
I think Gunner's so adorable. I also thought Spencer was very funny. To me, Spencer was the first Scott Disick.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Spencer was hilarious.
But fuck yeah.
Yeah. That's dead about deep. But still in the early knots, we got Travis Barker, which was actually like a very like sweet story. I feel like a lot of people had so many question marks around Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker's like love story, and oh, they're showing so much PDA, and how much did Chris pay for this shot to be taken, like all this stuff. But honestly, after what just happened this past week, my heart is like in on them so fucking bad. I love it so much. So Travis Barker, as we all know, he doesn't fly. How many years ago was it now? Like 13?
13.
Yeah, so 13 years ago, he got into a absolutely terrible and tragic plane accident where he lost four of his friends in this accident. He hasn't flown ever since. He like burned 65% of his body.
But I read somewhere on an article like him talking about that crash, and he like jumped into the fucking like
the gas
thing.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Even thinking about it, like it really, because I remember when that happened. I remember when it was like all over the news. He had like jumped on the fuel thing. 65% of his body burned, third degree burns, 27 surgeries. The only two people to survive out of the six were him and DJ AM. But now Travis is the only surviving person from that accident because DJM overdosed on prescription pills like a year later. it's just, it's a very heart-wrenching story, and it's something so traumatic to go through. Hasn't been on a plane since until now. Where, like, I literally have chills on my body.
I know, I just got that. I wasn't going to say it, but I'm glad you did, because I was like, oh my God. Because yeah, that was like, you know, Blink 182 was fucking huge when we were growing up. And just to see like that happen to somebody that we all like know, and then like walk away from it pretty much, like even though he was severely fucked up from it and like continues to like suffer from heavy PTSD, to then like be in this relationship where he looks like he's like finally like happy, like him and Courtney look so fucking happy together, and just like to be comfortable enough and to like trust somebody enough in your life to like overcome a huge fucking fear like that. Mm-hmm. Like I am terrified of flying, and nothing has ever happened to me. All I did was like grow up in New York and, you know, see 9/11, and that like fucked me up. But like for him to like experience something so traumatic and then just like kind of come out of it the other side, like I think we were all just like, oh.
Yeah. Honestly, oh. It's just, I'm all in. Like if they told me they secretly eloped, I don't look up any celebrities' P.O. box or any of that shit. I'd send them something.
What should we send them?
I don't even know. We got to think of it, because I want it to be very good and on brand.
Okay. I think we should send them some Talk to Us Nice stickers for the kids.
What a great gift. You're right.
And
love it.
Rain would put them all over his iPhone. Like I know he would. Penelope would throw them out.
Mason's cool.
Mason would put one up in like a place and then Instagram live it later. Penelope's throwing it out.
Yeah.
And I love too that they were like on Kylie's private jet. Of course she has the private jet, the richest one in the family. I would use that shit too.
Yeah, fuck out of here. But yeah, they went to go meet up with her mom and Corey in Cabo, Mexico. I love them. I've decided that it's like, I don't know. You know me. I'm always the first one. I'm like, PR stunt. And I think like after like the first like couple of kisses in public, I was just like, oh, like it's cute if it's real. Like that's fine or whatever. But I never really thought like, oh, this is fake. And now I'm just like, wow, I'm invested.
This is the realest thing I've ever seen in my life.
And I'm over the moon.
Yeah. And the fact too, that she just chopped her hair into this cute ass little chic French fucking bob, you sexy bitch. So I see good. You. Like, I feel like they just genuinely, and you know what? I don't know. I could be just drinking the Hollywood Kool-Aid, but I feel like they genuinely like really fucking like each other. And it's just really cute to like see. Like, they're the only Kardashians I will ride for. Like, I might even follow her. I don't follow none of them. I might follow Courtney.
I just feel like everyone's like, oh, like, look at the way she's acting when she's 4 years old. And I'm just like, y'all need to stop acting like now that we're older, we can't believe like this is how people in this age view things. Like sometimes I'm still like, oh, let me go get an adult. Like no one's going to tell me nothing. I don't care. Like you act a certain way, maybe in public, but everyone's still a kid inside somewhere. Like I don't give a fuck.
And yeah.
Leave her alone. If she wants to tattoo her boyfriend randomly, put up a picture of her eating, like someone was like commenting on like, I don't know, she put up some like lollipop picture and they're like, how old are you? Shut up.
Fucking 40, and she'll tell you straight to your, like your face.
I can't eat lollipops because I'm 40?
Like you should, what are we? We get 40 and we fucking die? Like I'm clinging on to Gen Z. Like my fucking nails are right there. Like I will be forever fucking young. You know what I mean? Like, what am I supposed to do? Just like die when I get to 40? I'm supposed to move to Long Island and buy a house? Kill me. If those words come out of my mouth, you can kill me. It's fine.
Oh, I'd just kidnap you. And then I'd find out who brainwashed you. And then I'd get a hypnotist to fix it.
Imagine I finally joined the cult that I've been talking about starting for literal years now. And that's what happens to me. I turn 40 and I'm like, oh, 401ks, Roth IRA, I'm moving to Long Island. Bye.
I'd be like, Kelsey, what are you? I'd also get your mom to help because she'd know something's up too.
Yeah.
And now get me and Amanda.
Thanks.
And then I get Steven and Kat.
Get everybody. So I would have an intervention.
Just like going down the list very slowly, but I'd get people is what I'm saying.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're a real one.
So now I want to talk about, it was going around on Twitter. I have no doubt it's going around on Twitter because he is now in a new movie called Journal to Jordan. Denzel Washington is the director in it. But there was a Twitter debate on whether or not Michael B. Jordan could be considered the next Denzel Washington. Now, you know, I don't bring up Michael B. Jordan anymore unless something serious is happening. This was all over Twitter. I had to bring this up because while I may have loved the man in a past life, because I'm healed now, no one in their right mind is calling Michael B. Jordan the next Denzel Washington. I'm sorry. I have to say it. Because I've said it this entire time. Like, even while I did love him, I might love the man, but some of his movies are hit and miss. I feel like when he does biopics, he's amazing. The other stuff, it's like...
Oh, you didn't love his the remake of Fantastic Four?
Oh, my God. Listen, I can't put that on them because literally everybody was in a bad light in that movie. Miles Teller, who I think is a great actor, is in a bad light in that movie. Like, I can't. That movie doesn't exist to me. that movie doesn't exist to me. But also, it's like that awkward moment. He was not great in it. But then he did Fruitvale Station. Amazing.
Fruitvale Station ruined my fucking life. Understand that. Understand that I knew what the story was about. I knew what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. The unhinged behavior that came out of my body and the tears that was produced that I made. I was like, somebody put me away.
Hold on. I want to bring up his other movies.
Yeah. Let's talk about his other movies. Cause I'm trying to think right now.
Yeah. So he did, there was also, cause I wanted to name another bad one. So hold on. Before I mention the other one, I thought he did amazing in, but I need to pull it out. I mean, there was even some parts of Black Panther where I like cringed a little bit inside. Not all of it was terrible, but there were some parts and I was just like, ooh, ooh.
Okay, Creed.
Creed, I think he did great in. He was also in Parenthood, which he has a lot of great stuff, but he has misses as well, whereas Denzel Washington does not miss.
I know, you know. What really pissed me off is that people, do you remember that movie he just did with Rami Malek? Which one? The Little Things, where he plays a detective. Mm-hmm. Everyone hated that movie. And I was like, no, Rami was bad. The main actor was bad and he creeps me out and it's not his fault. It's my own thing. But I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was a good like drama, slight thriller notes, and people fucking were like, Denzel, this is the worst movie you've ever done. And
I feel like people underestimate how much editing can make or break what people think is great or bad acting. Because Rami Malek to me has never missed. I didn't watch The Little Things, so I don't know how that movie went, or you know what people saw that maybe I wouldn't see. But editing can really genuinely make or break somebody. So I would be excited to actually see that movie. Maybe I'll put that on my list for...
Yeah, actually, can you? Because
yeah.
I just stopped talking about that movie because everybody was coming for me. They were like, why'd you tell me to watch this? I hated it.
I'm sad.
Okay, he was in The Wire.
He was in The Wire, which of course he did amazing in. I'm like skipping stuff that nobody probably even saw. Friday Night Lights, I loved because I loved that show so much. He was in Parenthood, which I loved as well. He did great. It was kind of very similar to his Friday Night Lights character. Chronicle.
I hated that movie. He wasn't,
what?
That was not a good movie.
I thought it was an okay movie. It's not something like I would like rave about, but once again, I also didn't think he was that great in it.
Yeah.
Fruitvale Station, we already said, I thought he did great. That awkward moment was terrible. Fantastic Four was something that cannot be mentioned.
Was something that happened in the world, and that's on that. Creed. Yeah,
Creed. Black Panther, during the movie, he was a hit and miss. There were some parts I was just like, wow, that was great. And there were some parts I was just like, no. I'm all about Black Panther, so I'll never say that. And also kind of hope that he's in the sequel, because now we don't have T'Challa, and I'm very sad about it. Just Mercy, he was amazing. But also so was every single person in that movie. I started crying 5 minutes into the movie.
Ooh, I did not watch.
This white guard was like beating up one of the inmates because the inmate was so happy that whatever, it doesn't even matter. I started tearing up 5 minutes into the movie, and it wasn't because of Michael B. Jordan. It was because of the person he was acting across, who was also only not in the movie for that long. Like everybody in that movie was so amazing. So, I mean, that just on itself was enough for me.
Wow. He has 10 movies coming out.
I know, he's on there. I haven't seen Space Jam. Apparently he's in that.
I haven't seen the Creeds. To be honest.
Oh no, I like him in Creed. I don't know if it's because he's shirtless the whole movie, but Tessa Thompson's in it. I don't know how you're gonna feel about that. But yeah, anyway, I'm sorry. The internet had me cracking up when they kept going on about how they can't believe that somebody tweeted that Michael B. Jordan was the next Denzel Washington.
Cause like,
do y'all really compare Michael B. Jordan to Denzel Washington on this land? It's like, picture Cicely Tyson with her arms wide open with Maya Angelou behind her. I just can't.
Oh, not that.
On this land?
I think like Denzel Washington could do Creed, but Michael B. Jordan could never do Training Day. You know what I mean?
That sums it up.
You could never do that. I don't even know how Denzel did that shit. Like sometimes I watch that movie and I'm like, what am I watching? What the fuck is happening? I'm scared. Ooh, I'm turned on.
I just want to leave it at that. I was gonna like read the other tweets and stuff like that, but honestly, like that's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm just like, there's also so many other people that haven't missed. Mahershala
never fucking misses. I did not see his season of True Detective because I didn't care about it, because I only heard the first season was good, but I know he was amazing in it. Like, I know it wasn't his acting. Like, I know his acting was like on par. It was just like the story itself.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I was just like, why is this discussion happening? Strange. This doesn't take away anything from like Michael B. Jordan being an amazing actor. Like, I feel like he grows with it. I don't even want to say grows, because he was amazing in The Wire and things like that. Like, sometimes it just happens. Sometimes it's like post-production shit that can fuck up a whole thing. And that's my opinion. But do I think he's the next Denzel Washington? The answer is no.
That's on period.
I feel like that's very large. Those are very large shoes to fill. And I don't see it yet. Let me say that. I don't see that yet.
Yeah, it like could happen. I think it's just a little too early in the career. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just like a different time back then. Like, I think if you look at Denzel's filmography, it's a lot different than like Michael B. Jordan's, just because.
That's another thing.
Yeah. So who knows? We'll see.
We shall see. And everyone's like, he has a whole ass son who's done nothing but critically acclaimed movies, and y'all talk about Michael B. Jordan being the next day.
Oh my God.
They're like, his son who came from, you know, his wife's uterus and out of Denzel's nutsack is the next.
Oh my God. You know, I still haven't watched, maybe I'll watch. No, I did, and I had to turn it off because I was getting triggered. I was like, all this fighting and you could just be silent. Like, but no, Tenet.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's good.
That's so funny. He has a whole ass son.
He has a whole ass son. I was like, why are y'all bringing up Michael B. Jordan? Because that's honestly what it's like. Michael B. Jordan has a handful, well, less than a handful of like classic movies under his belt. Whereas I feel like that's all Denzel has. But once again, it could be the time. Like, are we calling it classics because they were from so long? They were amazing movies from so long ago. You know what I mean? So, yeah. For right now, it's just like, we don't know yet. That's all I'll leave it as, because I don't want to seem like I'm playing him, because I'm not. I think he's amazing. Obviously, we were married once. Our last topic, we are bringing back the recaps. We're gonna do them a bit quickly. We're just gonna state our main points. That's what we say all the time, and it never works out that way. We always end up talking here for like 45 minutes.
We're trying.
Do it. We're gonna stop by 11:30. It's gonna be 15 minutes max.
Yeek! I feel like that's easy to do, just because with the first episode of Bachelor in Paradise, it was just kind of like who's on the island right now, and just introductions. So right off the bat, let's just, you know, elephant in the room, our boy Brendan. Now, guys, me and Mika were sending each other vicious voice memos yesterday. And by me and Mika, I mean just Mika, because she really was coming for my man.
Anyway, I feel like you should put disclaimer star, and then later on in the end of the episode or in the show notes, I'll put everything Kelsey said is not true. He is free agent. Well, he was with me yesterday, but I just don't believe that your claim is real. I will say, I think it's a PR stunt, everything they're just saying, to try to get us more traction, which I appreciate, but stop trying to claim my man. He knows what he's doing. I'm sorry. I feel like he spoke more in this first episode than he did for like half the season. In the season with Tayshia season. Like, I think we just loved to look at him during Tayshia season. But I feel like for like, it wasn't until like the second half of the season, we were just like, oh, like here is Brendan. He came in like, I know I'm a hot commodity and everybody wants me and I cannot wait to break some hearts. Every time he spoke, I was just like, wow, what a dreamboat. Abigail came down first, precious little angel.
Precious baby, love her, wish nothing for the best for her. She's so cute. I missed her.
Big ups to David Spade as host.
David Spade, he is. He's so good.
It was so good. I was so happy with it. I know that they're gonna rotate the host throughout the whole season, but if they decide to go some permanent, I know it's an early call because it's the first one we've seen, but I was fucking with it. I thought he was hilarious. I thought it was a great choice to start out with. And also, Wells kind of co-hosted it with him, and I feel like Wells just, he took the reins and was just like, this is what's gonna happen, this is what goes down, this is what happens in the island, like,
okay,
so or not, this is a show and you will go home if you don't find love, the end.
Okay, so disclaimer for myself, this is the first time I am watching a full season of Bachelor in Paradise, so I don't really, I can kind of get the gist of it, but who the fuck is Wells? Like, I know who he is, but like, what is he?
I'm so sorry. Yes, I forgot that we needed to bring that up. So Wells obviously was on JoJo's season. Everyone loved him from that season. He also hosts a radio show, does like podcasts and all that stuff. Engaged to Sarah Hyland. Big up to Sarah Hyland. No, he did Bachelor in Paradise a couple of times as well. And then when the bartender that was usually there left, Wells became bartender for Bachelor in Paradise.
Got it.
I believe this is, I want to say, Wells's third season. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Just email us at talktosnice@gmail.com if I'm wrong, but I believe this is Wells's third season bartending. He is taking a more active role though, because usually he's just a bartender, but once again, that's because Chris Harrison was there.
Got it.
Is not. But even when he came into, he was in, I know you didn't fully watch Katie's season. He was in Katie's season. He showed up for like one of the episodes. It's like he should have just been.
Okay.
It's a natural role for him to take, I think, because he's always like run his own like radio show, hosting all this other stuff. So he feels comfortable in that sort of position and taking reign in it. I thought he did great. But yeah, we had Joe. We had, who came in after that? Oh, Serena P.
Serena P.
Which, I'm sorry, I think Serena P is a beautiful woman. Did I think Serena P was going to be the hottest commodity out of the women for this season?
Yes.
It did not cross my mind once. I did not see that coming.
You see, I did. Why? Because she is biracial and she leans more on the white passing side. So I knew that she was going to kill it because the guys were going to be like, fuck, look at this exotic baddie. And it's
emphasis
like,
emphasis on exotic.
Emphasis on exotic. Oh, she's like caramel, but like light. She's like light caramel. You know what I mean? I knew. Even if she was like in a group of friends with me, I would know every time, fuck me, I can't go out with this bitch. She's going to get all the guys.
Screaming. Also, I didn't understand when Abigail said that Ivan was going to be a hot commodity. I'm sorry. I think it's because in my head, when I watched Stacia's season, he looked like her younger brother. And now I can't get that out of my head.
Cousin Ivan, baby.
Yeah, he looked like cousin Ivan. And also, you know, I wanted to do something with his hair. I still don't find him hot. I can't see it.
I can't see it either. I can't find it, but that is just me. But I did laugh very hard where he said, you might have remembered me from Tayshia's season. We didn't work out because Tayshia had in her mind, you know, an idea of who she wanted her husband to be. And I screamed at my TV. I said, wow, he really said she wanted a white husband. He said it.
Honestly, I can't believe I missed it. When you auto-messaged me that, I gagged. And I was so mad that we were watching it live because I really wanted to rewind. I hit the rewind button and I realized what I was watching it on. And I'm honestly devastated that I missed that. That's the other thing, though. Like, they all came in with, I'm known for, you might remember me as. And I'm like, I don't remember 85% of your stories. Like, I need you to, like, that Marissa, I have no idea who this woman is.
Who is she?
And this is coming from a person who's watched every season of The Bachelor and Bachelorette. I have no idea who this Marissa girl is. I still haven't looked it up because I don't know. I'm just like, well, she's making out with me, which makes me care less. So I just can't.
Yeah. Who else? Who else we got? We got Victoria back and is now going by the queen is dead. And now she's a goddess, to which I say, good luck. That's all I got to say about her.
I can already tell with how the episode went that if she does end up staying, it's a producer's doing. Nobody's talking to her. She's still, I'm not surprised, but I'm just like a little disappointed that she brought the same persona to Paradise. Because a lot of the times what happens is if a villain does come back, yeah, they might still be a villain, but it's not like a fucking character. Like, they're just a dick.
Yeah.
Or they're coming to redeem themselves. And I honestly was really hoping that after watching her trash ass season, that she would try to redeem herself in Paradise. But then I remembered that Matt kind of gave her leeway for everything that she did and saying like, oh, I know that's not the person you are. So of course she didn't think she did anything wrong. So there was nothing there then. So I just, when she started calling herself goddess and like came in with the zip tie crown that she said was expensive, but is actually $20 on Amazon. I just can't. Nope. I wipe my hands with it.
Yeah, she clearly is the same. So, like I said, good luck, girl.
Noah came in.
Noah.
I like Noah with the longer hair. When he said Abigail at first, I was kind of feeling it. But then his reasoning behind wanting Abigail made me cringe.
Oh, what was it? I might have been wine drunk.
Like, he mentioned, like, he's very interested in her because he's worked with children who were deaf. That was the reason why he's excited to meet her. And she's like his number one choice, which is very
fetishy.
Yeah, it was very strange. He's like, because, you know, I'm a nurse and she's deaf. That's strange that that's the driving force as to why you want to be with her. That's what you state is the driving force that you want to be with her. I don't know. It was weird. But to go, she did get the
first date card.
A first date card, yes, not Rose.
Get your fucking story straight. No,
I will kill you. Which was kind of awkward, their date in the beginning.
I don't know. Yeah, I really have nothing to bounce this show off of. Like, the only other things I have are like when we did do The Bachelor and when we did do Love Island. So it is interesting to see that this is like a combination of the two.
Oh no, I'm saying it was awkward in a sense of her basically saying like, I friend zone guys very easily. It will literally take me 8 months to even call you anything. Cause like, I love Abigail and I want her to win anything at all costs, but you can't go on a show that is faster. It moves faster than The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, which you were on, and you were devastated that Matt didn't give you like a real chance. Then come to Bachelor in Paradise and say, I move very slow. Bachelor in Paradise is the fastest one up the hill. Like, you have to make a connection or you get booted off quick.
Yeah, it's only like 2 months, right?
Yeah. So, and it's a 2 months of recycling. Like, there's people coming in,
yeah,
and man, like you need to form a connection. So I don't know. I found that very weird that she was just like, oh yeah, I move very slow. Then I love you, baby girl. You're too good for this show anyway. I feel like you're too good for this franchise. I mean, don't come on here.
Yeah. She's going to have to. Yeah. She's going to have to, you know, kind of let her guard down a little bit, break those walls, see what happens. But I thought the date was cute. The pinatas freaked me out a bit.
It freaked me out a little bit too.
I just don't need that. I don't need that on my conscience.
It felt like he was saying all the wrong things in the beginning to her as well. Like, she kept squinting her eyes at him, like, like all that stuff. So I wasn't sure how that was going to go. Let's see who else. Tejuan. I'm always rooting for everybody black. I really am. Baby girl, if you don't stop mentioning Trey's uncle, you will be the butt of the joke.
And so what's that about?
She went on a date with his uncle, apparently. I think they're from the same place. I'm not sure, because that's the only thing I'm connecting. I have no idea. But she went on a date with his uncle off of a dating app. And so that's how she knew who Trey was when she came in. But now she won't stop mentioning the date she had with the uncle. I'm like, girl, this will be your storyline if you don't stop. Like, it's fine that you want to date with the uncle. It didn't work out. Obviously, you're here.
I feel like, honestly, these people sometimes will get on the show and have, and just like lay all their cards out. And then the producer's like, that is what we're using forever. You dumb bitch. You know what I mean? Like, they just, I feel like she mentioned it and then that was the fucking end of it. And now it's just become
her world. No, I don't think that, because she says it in multiple different cuts. She won't stop bringing it up. Like, that's my
thing. You think it's just because, like, she's nervous? That's why she keeps bringing it up?
I mean, she was on last season.
It's a weird thing to keep bringing up.
That she kept saying that she was melting, which sis did not get the proper finishing powder because she was melting again. And I love Tej. Like, I think that she's so funny. And I think she's a great comical relief. And, like, I want her to find somebody here. And so I don't know. I needed to stop bringing it up. And also, I don't find Trey attractive. So when she's kissing Trey, I cringe.
I don't honestly find a lot of the guys, like, currently in Paradise attractive besides, like, Brendan and Grocery Store Joe.
Yes, but we can get into
him. Which we can get into him right the fuck now.
I don't like the edit he's getting. I don't like the edit. It's like breaking my heart. I don't like the edit he's getting. It makes him look like a petulant child.
He's getting like loner, weird boy.
Yeah. And I don't like that narrative that's coming out. I think he's hilarious. I think he's very funny. I think he's very sweet. I think he's very authentic. I feel like that's why everybody fell in love with him in the first place. He, on his season of The Bachelorette, he left night one and everybody was obsessed with him on the singular night that he was on The Bachelorette. And that's how, even though he was a one-nighter, he got to be in Bachelor in Paradise, his first season of Bachelor in Paradise. And then everybody, like, the love just, like, trailed on after, you know, he had his love story and it went well and, like, all that stuff. But yeah, they just, the cut he got, if they showed him on that daybed one more time, everybody asking where Joe was.
Where's Joe? Like,
getting into the water. Even the weird way he got into the water.
I'm like, this is fucked up. You guys are mean. You guys are bullies. It currently looks like him and Serena P are gonna try something. We'll see how it goes. We also had like Mari and Kenny. Whatever, go off. I mean, here's the thing. They've all been in like quarantine and like by themselves and like not really getting to experience the shows that like as they were supposed to happen, like especially with like them shooting during COVID. So I just feel like everyone's fucking horny and it's like, let's kiss.
I just also feel like Kenny's telling anybody who breathes that he's 40 years old. And I'm sorry, Natasha. One, I love that Natasha was vibing with Brendan, but I will get into that later. Natasha saying that she's 33 and Kenny's like, oh, you're not that much younger than me. I would have slit his throat. Don't you fucking dare. Don't you fucking dare.
I would have taken off the imaginary glove I was wearing, slapped him across the face.
I'm like, excuse the fuck out of you. But yes, back to Natasha vibing with Brendan. I loved it so much. Brendan was also vibing with Tejuan. I was just like, okay, Brendan. Mm. But I also saw the previews for the later episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not weave. That is white women hair. And he's known for whoever comes in. I wrote about Connor making out with that Marissa girl who I still don't know who she is, but also like people find Connor attractive.
Is he the one with the guitar?
Yeah, I want someone to smash that guitar. I really hope Thomas just comes in and just like steps on it by accident or something. Like, I don't know.
You know who I really wish was coming on this season? Okay. Benoit, Mr. Bennett.
Oh, Benoit. Oh, I think you meant like actual Benoit who's on Winter Games. My bad.
No, so not him.
I realize you've never even seen that season. Bennett looks hot as fuck. I saw a random TikTok video with him in that beard.
He's hot. Team what? Bennett, Team Bennett, baby, if you're listening, slide into the DMs. We'd love to hang out.
The way a beard can change a man's life. Speaking of, did you see Travis Kelce?
No.
Oh my God, baby. Travis, you know who Travis Kelce is, though, right?
Yeah.
He shaved his beard. I gagged. I want to throw up. He looks like someone's racist grandfather from 1963.
Oh,
I've never been punched in the chest harder than when I saw that picture of Travis Kelce.
I'm gobsmacked.
This is not what I meant when I said clean the seat that I'm gonna sit on later. This was not it.
Wait a second. I'm sorry. Someone just tweeted Travis Kelce shaved his beard and lost all of his rhythm and soul.
Yes. My heart hurt. And I saw the picture and then I see under it that his girl wrote under it, I'ma stick beside him.
That's the least she could tweet, honestly.
And he his profile picture and he drew on a beard to his face. But anyway, I'm just saying that a beard can change someone's life because I...
Yeah, guys, sorry for that left turn, but it had to be done.
I was very, very hurt. But at the end, Demi comes in. I used to be a very big Demi fan. I'm not sure you know who Demi is. Demi was on Colton season.
Yeah, I know she's bi, right? That was kind of like a part of her storyline.
Journey on Paradise, yes. She was with Derek, and I actually was rooting for them a lot, but then you could tell something was missing with her. She had a girlfriend before she came to Paradise and all that stuff. She came over, Demi proposed to her, all that. They broke up. Because the thing is that even Demi seemed different on that season of Paradise. Like, she wanted to show, like, she wasn't just, like, the character that she was on Colton's season. And, like, yeah, a part of that is who she is. But, like, of course, people turn it up to 11 when they get in front of the camera. And then now she came in just, it's kind of like the Victoria thing.
Yeah, I was
converted all the way back.
I was going to say, like, I didn't really know much about her, but I knew that she did have history with Bachelor in Paradise. And it just kind of seemed to me like when she came in, it was very much like villain energy, very much like I'm here to fucking steal your man. And it's like, nobody has a man yet. Like, you know that because you were already here. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be really interesting to see how like her attitude plays out. Cause I'm just like, why are you so sour?
Yeah. And the thing is that now it makes sense because I feel like she wasn't tweeting much. She got in trouble for like some jacket she was wearing. I forgot what it said on it. I didn't really care. But then she started tweeting more and more. And then she even tweeted about Greg and how she knows Greg and like wanted to be part of the discourse. And it didn't really make sense to me because I thought she had like kind of like moved past all this. And now it does, is because she's on this season of Bachelor in Paradise. I also saw in the preview that she was making out with Brendan and I was not happy.
Honestly, everyone's going to get a piece of that fucking Boston cream pie.
I hope he ends up happy at least. That's all I can say. But yeah, I love Bachelor in Paradise. I'm so happy that is back. I tweeted that. I was like, finally, after these Bachelor and Bachelorette seasons, we finally get some good fucking food with the Gordon Ramsay gif on it. I love Bachelor in Paradise. I thrive on this season. Just to let you guys know, sometimes they will be doing, for example, next week, 2 episodes a week. We will be talking about Monday's episode on the podcast because we record on Tuesdays. And then the Tuesday episode will be attached to the next Monday's episode on the week after's podcast episode. Just to give you guys a heads up, because we want to keep doing this, but we're not going to record twice in 1 week.
Guys, we can't do that. And that's just the way it is.
But we hope you liked our recap. I hope you're happy we're back. We love doing this for you guys. We love watching this drama. We love you. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. We will be back next Wednesday for more hot topics. So see ya.
Bye.